Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara. We're 17 lines from the, well, I guess the bottom, is we're in the middle of the Amud, but don't worry, we'll catch up today, Be'ez Hashem, because it's a shorter Daf Lamed Gimel. So we're 17 lines from the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, where the words of Bishlama, Zichronos, and Shofros. So now the Gemara is explaining Rabbi Yossi Shita, that in regards to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, each one should begin with three psukim from the Torah, and then go to Ksuvim, then go to Nevi'im, and then end off with one of the Torah, so you're going to have four psukim total of the Torah in each one of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So the Gemara says now, Bishlama, Zichronos, and Shofros, Ikatuva. Now I understand, according to Rabbi Yossi, that when it comes to Zichronos and Shofros, there are many psukim in the Torah that refer to these points of zichar and of being remembrance and the shofar, of blowing the shofar in the Torah, or chatzotzos, whatever, really shofar in the Torah. So that's fine. Ela malchios klasu davin, when it comes to the Hashem's kingship, there's only three psukim that are accurately describe it, what the point we're trying to drive at, on Rosh Hashanah, and those are Hashem Elokav Imo Truas Melech. Well, Hashem, His God, is with us, and the King is with Him, so that's malchios, v'yibishurun melech, and also the v'yibishurun melech, that neck pasuk, and Hashem Yimloch, Elam v'Hashem Shireen, forever. So that's referring to Hashem's malchios, understanding that Hashem is the melech, malach, Yimloch, Elam v'Hashem. That idea is mentioned in these concepts, is mentioned in these three psukim. But we need to require a total of 10. Again, we have four from the Torah, and they're not four psukim in malchios. Now, we pointed out, everyone agrees, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He says, "Amen, everyone. If we pasken like Rabbi Yochanan, he says you're going to be yotze even with one pasuk in the Torah." But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is going to be moda. Everyone's going to be moda that lechachila that you should have four. So where is this fourth pasuk with regards to malchios? So Gemara answers this: Amar Rav Huna Tashma Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Malchus. The fact that we say Hashem is our King, Hashem is one, and that reference is that's showing Hashem is the King. So there, Rabbi Yossi, that is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not considered Hashem's kingship. This pasuk that says, you know, that day, there's nothing like Hashem. There's nothing else like that. There, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Malchus. That's also not Rashi. Rather, Atari Saldas, Ki Hashem Elokim, Einod Milvadoi. That's Malchus. You've been shown an order to Hashem that there's a king, there's no one besides him. That is the reference to kingship. There, Rabbi Yossi, they put the words of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yehuda, that's not considered kingship. So we see that Rabbi Yossi considers different things to be a form of what is Malchus. Rabbi Yossi would therefore hold that the Torah would include Malchus in with another pasuk. The minhag that we have, really our sitter, we end off with the last pasuk with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Rosh Hashanah likes to quote this because there's a big machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. As Bichlal, what does it mean when we say Echad? Hashem, Hero Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, we say every day in Shema. With the pasuk in Shema, we say every single day. It's a mitzvah, the right? So what do we have kavanah? We say Echad. So the Rambam understands Kipshuta that Echad Hashem is one. We believe that there's no other gods, Chas V'Shalom, right? There's nobody else. Hashem is in charge of the world. That's it. Rashi is a more expansive explanation of Echad, rather that Hashem Shalokeinu, who Asidios Hashem Echad, that not only that Hashem, we believe Hashem is one, but also the world and all the other nations will eventually come to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu's kingship and the Malchus Hashem is only one, and that is in reference to Echad as well. So Rosh Hashanah points out, Lechora, our Siddur is more Meduyek like Rashi, the way we end up with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad is Malchus. Malchus is referencing to Hashem being one, not just one right now, but that He will be one for all the nations, and that's what we're trying to find this pasuk. Lechora, if we say this as Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad, that's actually more Meduyek like Rashi's understanding of what we're trying to have kavanah when we say Echad. Okay, very interesting. To note that machlokas and how it comes out from the Gemara over here. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us over the night Hateva biyom tov shal Rosh Hashanah. Someone's davening for the Amud on Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. Sheni Maskia, the second one who's leading Musaf Maskia. He's causing someone else to Maskia's lashon of causing someone else to blow is implying that he's not blowing. Why not? The Rishonim already point this out because the Lefora, he's not the one blowing the shofar because he's going to get distracted. He's going to blow the shofar just like a whole shaila that Berkas Kohanim. It's a Kohen a lot of duchen. There's also a shaila. Those are Makbin and Ogros that it's a whole shaila and Rishonim how the shalshalas comes out Alach Lamaisa. But there are those in Gross in the morning of Miller Shlita would not allow Kohen to down for the Amud because this point also that you're going to afraid you're going to get a bilbo once you start blowing the shofar and get back to where you were holding. that would be a confusion. It's important to note that was really maybe only when the Sheikh Tibor didn't have a sitter, so he wasn't sure he was going to get afraid. However, the Sheikh Tibor has a sitter, Bizmanazeb, there would potentially be more room to be makel, having the guy who's davening for the Yom would also be the one blowing. Again, not getting the Lachamais, so there are many still makbid on that as well. But that is the Lashon of Maskiya. Interesting deal for the Mishnah is that he's causing the Shofar to blow, implying that he's not blowing. Definitely, Bizman Mishnah, the Rishonim already pointing out, because they didn't have Sidurim, for sure would cause a confusion, or afraid that it would cause a confusion, and therefore they should not be blowing the Shofar. Uvashas Halal, and who's the one who's going to say Halal, meaning on Yom Tovs? I think we're going to be like that. It really, Shas Halal sounds like not on Yom Tovs. Rishonim is going to ask, why don't we say Rosh Hashanah, Halal Rosh Hashanah? But on the other Yom Tov, when we do say Halal, Harishon Makris, I was saying, we're assuming that there's two different people davening for the Yom, and it's also like that. Usually, we don't have the same guy davening unless you have a higher chazan for Shabbos, you're paying a lot of money, but usually, you'll have a normal shul, and when we not have a special occasion, you'll have one guy davening Shachris, another guy davening Musaf. So then also, so that's what the Mishnah seemingly was assuming as well, that there are two different people. So pointing out the guy who's davening Musaf is the one who's in charge of having the guy blow the shofar, because he's the chazan at the time, and then the one who's davening Shachris, Harishon Makris Halal, he's the one who's going to read Halal, that they do Halal really right after Shachris, and that's our practice with Manazeh as well. So the Gemara is going to ask on that, the Gemaish, now I'm asking, yeah, so why specifically the one who's leading Musaf is the one who's causing him to blow Shofar? Mishum Devarova Majos Melach. So the Gemara is assuming right now, why would they do Shofar in Musaf? Why do they wait all the way till Musaf? Maybe they should do it for Shachris. So the Gemara is understanding, the Rova Majos Melach. And no, unfortunately, then also, people are coming late to Shul. And especially, whatever, the women also, people are coming late to Shul. So you can have more people for Shofar blowing if you do it at Musaf time as opposed to Shachris. So therefore, we want to have more people, we don't want to do Rova. Gemara says, Yachi, Halal Nami name of a Sheni Mishun Rav Hajos Melach. But if that's the case, Halal also should be said under the circumstances of Rav Hajos Melach by the Musaf time on Yantuv as well. So why should they be different? So Gemara says, Ela Maishna Halal Devarisha. Why do we specifically do Halal and Shachris? Isn't Rav Hajos Melach better? Gemara says, no, because Nishum the Zrizin Makdim the Mitzvos. Because the principle of Zrizin Makdim the Mitzvos, you want to be quick to do Mitzvos. You want to be, I don't know a good word for that. Chandler is zealous, but not really zealous. We want to be loving of Mitzvos to show that we love the Mitzvos to do it early in the morning, to perform the mitzvah early in the morning. So you want to do it first by Shachris. So the Gemara says the same verses apply by Tikkis also. Tikkianami, Navar by Yom Tov, rather Mishun is Zuzim Akhtim in the mitzvahs. We see that also, the Yom Tov also, we should be doing it first thing in the morning. So why is it, again, back to our question, original question, that it should be delayed? Why is it being delayed till Musaf? It really should be done in Shachris. Also, Aga, we see over here, Lachora, a raya, very strong raya from the Gemara's, that when you have two things at play, you have Roman Hajos Melach, you could have a minion that you can go to with more people. You have a 150-person minion later in the morning, like at 8 o'clock, or you have a Shachris that, assuming everything else is equal, you'll have the same Kavana, etc., and the 7 o'clock Shachris that Zuzim Akdil Mitzvah, you'll be on the Mitzvah of Talis and Tefillin and Davening, you'll be able to do earlier. Lachora, we see from over here, and there's only 10 people at that minion. So then, Lachora, we see the Gemara pretty strong raya from over here that Zrizim Akdim and the Mitzvahs take precedence over Rav Hajos Melach. That's just interesting, Ahara. But that we see over here. So then, go back to the point of the Gemara. Why do we blow shofar in Musaf? The Gemara answers because I'm Rav Yochanan B'Shas Gzeiros Hamalchus Shana. Because they originally taught this Mishnah during the period where there was decrees against blowing the shofar. Initially, the blowing took place during Shachris, apparently. But when the government forbade doing it, and they would spy on the Yidden, unfortunately, many Gzeiros, people tried to stop us from doing Mitzvos. So there was one time also they would stop people from doing Mitzvos. They knew that we would blow first thing in the morning. So they delayed it. They told everybody, okay, let's do it later in the day. We'll do it when we daven Musaf. We'll switch the Malchus, the Chornos, the Shofars to Musaf time, and we'll blow the Shofar during Musaf. That is the opinion of Rashi. The Yerushalmi seems to have a different version of what does it mean Gzeiros Hamalchus, that really they blew once, they thought it was a war, and then convinced it was a battle. Okay, but we'll go with the just Chana Rashi that was the reason the governmental decree. It's a very interesting art, actually. And then Yonat the Yoma, because we're in social media already, much more in social media. In 2 weeks, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to have Chanukah. So there's a Gishmak Akasha that one of the Shalom asked for Yashav, his whole essay trying to answer this, but he has a strong question from the Gemara that, you know, Minag and Eretz Yisrael is that people light the Neros Chanukah, they light the Neros Chanukah outside. And really, that is the most perceiving. So it's clearly the Chatzilah thing to be doing. The question is, why did they originally not have this practice? Is because there was also the same thing. There was also a Shasar Shema. There was a time where we would light outside. We were afraid of pogroms. People would kill us. So therefore, they said that everybody should just light inside the house in order to avoid any chashash sakana, and everybody should light inside. So he asked, why does it, Rabbi Yoshev, but before we see from this, the Gemara over here, that even though we know the reason of why the sakana was, it doesn't apply to the manazeh, so when there's no chashash sakana, nobody says to do malchus, rechonos, and shofros in shachos, we keep the takana, the original takana, the way it was. So also, when it comes to the Chanukah, why in Eretz Yisrael did they go back to the old minhag when if there was a Shasa Shema that caused us to stop doing it the most correct way, why don't we keep it that way and say that Be'etzem we should be doing the original way, even if nowadays we can't do it more Hidra way. Okay, so I don't have time to go into the whole answer, but the very interesting question based on the Gemara comes out over here. So then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Mitzkamar b'shasa halos." When the Mishnah says that we're talking about saying it when halal is said, "Michlal the Rosh Hashanah leka halal." That implies a Rosh Hashanah. There's going to be no recitation of halal. So the Gemara says, "My time." What is the reason that we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah? Again, it's a yamtiv, and we know that Isra Malacha and the yamtiv is what creates the reason for halal. So the Gemara is asking, why don't we say halal on Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Avah, Rabbi Avah says, Amar Malachi Asher Sun HaKadosh Baruch, the Malachim said before Hashem, it's a famous Gemara, Ribbono Shel Olam, the Master of the World, Bevei Ma, Ein Yisrael, Omrim, Shir Lefanai, Ve Rosh Hashanah, Ve Yom HaKippur, that Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are both fundamentally Yomim Tovim, so why don't we say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, why don't we say Halal? So the Gemara says, Amar Lamir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Efshar Melech Yoshev, Al-Kisei Din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sitting on the throne of judgment, Ve Sifre Chaim, Ve Sifre Mason, Psuch Lefanah, and the opening the books to the living and the dead, who's going to miyachia miyamus? We say this Rosh Hashanah Kippur so strongly. So, and Yisrael oimim shira, and Yisrael, the Tal Yisrael is going to sing songs. No, it's not appropriate. So therefore, it's not appropriate to be saying halal on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. And we do obviously want it to be a good year, but still, nevertheless, it's inappropriate. It's not appropriate for us to sing joyously. And just note also, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, I think there's a misunderstanding that some people have, even the Breslovers. The davening is a very serious thing, obviously. You know, we still pour out our hearts to Hashem and cry to Hashem. Everything should be done by simcha, even tshuva, obviously. But it's not about a sing-along and then Shalom HaYisrael. That's not the way. Everyone had a pachad. All the chassidim, even the Baal Shem Tov and all the chassidim, always have a pachad meir of davening or Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Emas Adin, Avada. You're not just singing around, dancing, holly jolly. Avada, you have to do tshuva shlema. It can also be done by simcha, but also Emas Adin, for sure. Gilu Berada, Emas Adin, to be scared in the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, Vayter says the Gemara. Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Imar v'nalav es tchum. We don't go beyond the tchum for it. So normally tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos boundary, which is past one's walking spaces, a dinder, a bun. And you're not allowed to walk past that 2,000 amos. So if you know there's a shofar more than 2,000 amos from your city in the next city over, but it's more than 2,000 amos, so then the Mishnah is telling us you don't go beyond the tchum to order to go listen to shofar. And then the Gemara is going to give other examples. Mishnah rather. Vein mafakinus nagal. Also, you can't clear away rocks from the rubble to be able to go get to the shofar if you know it's underwears, because you can't do the violation of muksa in order to get to the shofar. Lolin ve'ilin, also not allowed to climb a tree. We know that the gzera of climbing a tree is lest you come to do an iser d'oraisa of koter, of tearing off a branch on the tree. So that's a din d'rabbanan. All these things are din d'rabbanan, yet you can't do them to avoid the mitzvah, to do the mitzvah of shofar. V'lorach b'in al-gabe behema. You can't ride an animal. V'lo shatin al-pnei amayim. You can't swim either. Again, all these things are din d'rabbanan, isers. V'in chosin chosin, you're not allowed to cut the shofar, you're not allowed to scrap it, but the end of the Gemara is going into this, is also an Isser Darbanan. The way of scrapping it could be done in a way that would be an Isser Darbanan. There are certain ways that you could do it, would be mamish an Isser Daraisa. Aval im ratza liten lesocha mayim yiten. However, if one wishes to put water in to the shofar, you would allow to do that. Apparently, I think some people do this also, shofar blowers, that the Mishnah is suggesting that rinsing a shofar is enhancing the sound. Since it's not fully fixing it, it's not a problem of tikkun mana. Tikkun mana is really when you're fixing something totally. Here it's a fully usable shofar without putting in water, so therefore that's not a problem putting in water on yamtiv. In makvinus etinogos muskol, you're allowed to allow the children to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is going to say even on Shabbos. However, we allow to engage them in the blowing to learn how to, because it's chinuch, we want them to learn how to blow the shofar. You allow to engage them in blowing. Now the Gemara is just mentioning the Mishnah Ben parenthetically. If someone is blowing as misasik without having in mind what he's doing at all, he was just blowing something, let's say, and it comes out a sound. So that, like, let's say you just you accidentally produce a sound and you didn't even realize it was the sound. That's mamash besazik. Everybody agrees that you're not going to be yotze. Even when it comes to, we'll see the mitzvah of the concept of mitzvah sichas kavana. Here is something that for sure is going to be not yotze according to everyone. The kli elman besazik b'shabbes is totally pater. That's most assume you don't even need tshuva. Rabbi Akiva Eger mechadish that you'd have to do tshuva for that. But let's say like I'm walking. I lean my back and I don't have any reason to assume there's a light switch there and my back hits the wall and there's a light switch there and turns off the lights. So that's called misasik. I'm not even misafkes. I didn't even realize it was a mesa at all that I was doing. As opposed to, let's say, where I see something on the ground and I thought it was detached from the ground and ended up being attached from the ground. That's why I had a mesa to take something from the ground. That was the mesa I was thinking about. That's more of a reason to assume I did something as an actual mesa. Whereas opposed to, it's not even relevant to my mesa. I'm like flinging my arms and I hit the light. That's mamash not relevant to me. Similar over here, misasik is not something which is subject to the, it doesn't relate back to you at all. Someone hears from the shofar from somebody who is blowing in this manner, obviously not going to fulfill his obligation. So now the Gemara asks, my time, what is the reason why that you have to not violate an iser to do accomplish the mitzvah shofar? So the Gemara says, now shofar esihu, the mitzvah shofar is a mitzvah deraisa. Yomtov eser lo sase, however, violating the iser of yomtov would be an iser deraisa and also a positive mitzvah. As the pasuk says, it says shabbosim, which we learn is a mitzvah deraisa of shabbosim to rest on yomtov. And then the other pasuk says kol malach lo sase, we learn is a mitzvah esse and lo sase ve yomtov. So therefore, we have a concept that in esse docha lo sase vase. The rule is that a positive commandment does not. We know esse docha lo sase. A positive commandment can override a lo sase. However, it cannot override both a mitzvah another mitzvah sase and a mitzvah lo sase. It's interesting on the bottom of the Gemara a little bit because all these cases, usually when do we say esse ve lo sase? The classic example is right mila b'tzaras is doing a mitzvah mila, and while if you're cutting off the tzaras while you have a mitzvah mila to do, then that would be esse docha lo sase. That's when it's bevas achas, when it's happening at the same time. Here they're happening. You're doing it two different stages. First you have to remove the rocks and then you get to the shofar. It's not the same exact time where I'm removing the rocks and the shofar. That's a very fascinating thing. Meaning, and the Gemara was also assuming that this is Isra Dereisa, but we know that called the Tikkun, the Rabbanan, gained Dereisa Tikkun, so it makes sense. They would hold their applications by the Isra Dereisa as well, the Rabbanan as well, that you can't do even an Isra Dereisa in order to fulfill the mitzvah of a mitzvah Dereisa. Even if it's only something which is usher on yantav, I'm just wondering that what was the havamin of the Gemara? Because lechora, there was no havamin that these should be okay because it's not done at the same time. I have to enable myself to maybe cutting the shofar. No, but you cut the shofar first and then enabling you to then blow the shofar. You're not cutting it and blowing it at the same time simultaneously. So I'm a little bit bothered by the Gemara's havamin over here. Either way, the Gemara continues now. Lo limba ilan velorach ben agabehima. We don't climb a tree or ride an animal on in order to do the shofar. So the Gemara says hashda derabanan amrit lo. Even in iser derabanan, it's going to be ushered for the sake of blowing the shofar. The Raisa Mivaisa, then why does the Mishnah even need to tell me to violate Isra Dereisa? If I know even Isra Dereisa is mentioned in the Mishnah, the first to deen of the Mishnah, then obviously Isra Dereisa is Mivaisa. So Rashi is actually bothered by the gear, so the Gemara is going to ask this in a moment on the next Talmud, but why is it mentioned over here as a kasha, Rashi asks. So Rashi is bothered by this because the Mishnah is talking about all dinim derabanan. So Rashi says maybe we're talking about the fact that Mukta is really categorized as a full-fledged Isra Darabanan because it's not Atua Isra Daraisa, as opposed to the climbing a tree, which is going to lead to an Isra Daraisa of potentially doing Kotzer. That was like a Gzera of a Siag for a Siag Daraisa, so that's why it's called the level Daraisa. Rashi still doesn't like this answer. He wants to take out this Girsa. Lechora Rashi is bothered by the fact that Mukta also, according to some Rishonim, is still a Siag on a level of Daraisa, so preventing you from doing Daraisa also. They didn't just make it up. So Lechora, there's room to whatever. The Gemara is asking that the is it similar to the Raisa. And where says you're right, still stylistically, the Mishnah is saying Zuv Insar Chazu Katani. The Mishnah is teaching you the format that this is not necessary, and even that Avadi is not necessary. Sometimes the Mishnah will do that with Zuv, not even this to that. Obviously, to do it even in Isra Darabanan is going to be usher to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. And Kol Shekein, a mitzvah that's an iser deraisa to do a mitzvah of shofar is going to be usher. And those are absolutely, we don't even need this, we've been mentioning both. Now, turning on the next Lamed of Lamed Gimel, it looks like, by the way, we're not going to, anyway, we'll see. Maybe we'll finish all of Lamed Gimel. Either way, when it comes to Lamed Hey, it's half an Amud. So we have 2 days, and when it comes to Shabbos, we'll be able to catch up from on Shabbos' daf. But either way, we'll hopefully try to finish most of the daf now. But in turning on to Lamed Gimel, Manalaf now, in Chosin Losa, but in Bedavashim, Mishin Shwus, Bedin Roshim, Los Hase. You don't cut it for something which is an Isidore Banan or an Isidore Isa. Now the Gemara asks the same question. Mishin Shwus, before that, the Gemara now mentions it. Mishin Shwus is a case of Magla. When it comes to what's an Isidore Banan, enhancing the shofar is when you're using a sickle. Lo sase sakina, using an Isra Dereisa would be a knife. Now, we know that Makim and Patish, according to Rashi, that this is Rashi's interpretation, is that Makim Pradesh is literally the final blow of the hammer, which is something which is completing a formation of an object that's an Isser D'Oraisa. Now that Isser D'Oraisa is only done when it's done in the way that it's normally done. If it's something which is Kalach Yadetz or something which is unusual to do, that would only be an Isser D'Rabbanan. So the Gemara is assuming right now to scrape out the shofar with a sickle is something which is going to be only D'Rabbanan, as opposed to scraping it out with a knife. That is something which is a normal way to do it. That's a Mamish and Isser D'Oraisa. The Rach had a different understanding. He explains that the Mishnah is referring to the shofar's chopping off the shofar from the animal's head, which is the malach of kotzer. He's assuming that that's, and he has different gears. He says that the case of the sickle of the magla is actually the Isser D'Oraisa, because that's the sickle's normal way of chopping off, and using a knife would be something which is only derabana, because that's not the derech. Okay? Interesting machlokas over here. But either way, that's the Isser D'Rabbanan, Isser D'Oraisa. Now the Gemara asks the same question we had before. Has to mishnah shavuos amar lo, Allah says, if you're going to tell me that even to do an Isser D'Rabbanan, I'm not allowed to do in order to do the sake of mitzvah shofar, so then kol shekein lo sasamibai, then obviously for a negative commandment, I would be usher to do something to allow me to do the mitzvah Isser D'Oraisa, to do the mitzvah of shofar. So the Gemara answers what we had just answered before: Zo ve'in tzarich lezo nomar zo katani. The Mishnah is teaching you that the first ruling, and not even necessarily mentioned the second ruling, which mentioned the format. But sometimes Mishnahs will do that. Now for the next part of the Mishnah: Aval im ratza litein latocha mayim, oh mayim yayim yitein. If you want to put water or wine into it, you're allowed to. Says the Gemara: Mayim o yayin in, that specifically with water or wine, you're allowed to put it in. Meir glaim lo, you're not allowed to put, as a client, you know, to clean an agent, you shouldn't use urine. So the Gemara is saying, why not? Masisa money, who's our Mishnah? Abashol, this our Mishnah must be following the opinion of Rabbi Shalom. Tanya, Abashol Omer, Mayim yayin mutzah l'kedilach tzach. You can pour wine or water in order to pour it into the shofar. Meir glaim asr ne'a kava. L'chora, Meir glaim is asr not just on Shabbos and Yantiv, but even during the weekday, because that's something that's not designed for a mitzvah. You can't do that for a mitzvah. It's the thing that you use for the mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah. It's completely designed to wash it out with urine. They actually say this every day in the Ketores, right? There's a covered, we don't bring the meraglim to clean it out also with regards to the Ketores. That's what we say as well. It's not appropriate to use, even if it's a good cleaning agent, you shouldn't use it because it's not the covered. It's not appropriate. So the word is, now, we're not going to restrain a child from blowing the shofar. The Gemara says, "Ha nashim akman," implies that it's usher for a woman to blow the shofar. Again, we know that fundamentally that nashim v'ktanim are usually the ones who are grouped together because they're both pater for the mitzvah, because the mitzvah says they shazam grama, and ktanim because they're not chayiv yet. So when it comes to a child, we know that a child, though, eventually midir rabbanan is going to have the concept of chinuch. He's going to eventually, we want to teach him how to do the mitzvahs. Women are never going to be obligated to the mitzvahs, so the mitzvah is implying that they should not deal with blowing the shofar. So the Tana is apparently telling us the woman, if she's blowing of it, if she's using it and handling it, it's mamash and isser. And Rashi assumes that the isser would be bal tosif, since they're not chayav in a mitzvah and they're doing it anyway, that's bal tosif. Like if I decide to blow a shofar today and I have in mind to do the mitzvah d'oraisa, that would be mamash the isser of bal tosif. So the Rambam writes, even if you have in mind with the mitzvah d'rabbanan that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, you're over with bal tosif. That's a Rambam points this out actually, because there's a lot of things. Let's say brichas Torah in the morning. So machlokas you're shown him whether brichas Torah in the morning is mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan. So what I have in mind, if I have in mind the mitzvah d'oraisa, it's really a mitzvah d'rabbanan, I'm over bal tosif according to the Rambam. So what do you do? So Rambam always points out whenever you have machlokas that you have in mind to do ketikuna, whatever the mitzvah is supposed to be, that's how I want to do the mitzvah. That's how you have in mind before doing a mitzvah. Okay, but here, so a woman who's blowing it could be over the isser according to the implication of our Mishnah. Tana ben Abayis tells us, "Ein makvin los nashim los tigonos mos kovinot." We have Abayis, which says explicitly that women are also allowed to blow shofar. So the Gemara answers, "Amar Abayi lo kasha." There's no difficulty. How Rabbi Yehuda, this teaching of our Mishnah was implying that women are usher from blowing the shofar. Is the view of Rabbi Yehuda? Yeah, taka holds that it's usher for them. It's maybe it's going to Rashi again. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon. Whereas the teaching of the Abayis, which says women are not allowed, not usher from blowing the shofar, and they're allowed to do so, that would be Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that since women are not obligated, they're usher, and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon would hold that they would be allowed to do so if they wanted to blow it, and that is how we paskin. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi, according to everybody, is how we paskin. The shaila is when they're allowed to. Okay, so they're allowed to do mitzvahs as they shazman grama time by mitzvah when they don't do it. The famous machlokas Tosfos of here, Arichas discusses also the Rosh Kalha, that whether or not they should make a bracha. Should they make a bracha when they're voluntarily doing the mitzvah? Tosfos says that Be'etem, they bring a raya from Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi was assuming, he said, if I have someone to tell me that I'm in a mitzvah and I'm going to be doing mitzvahs, I'll throw them a party because I'm getting more schar. So Tosa says, if he was going to lose out on all the brachas, how could it be that he would have been so happy? So Elamai, we see that someone who's butter from the mitzvah and wants to do it anyway, volunteers, is going to be chayav, is allowed to make a bracha. And that's the minhag we're basking based on Tosa's Ramah, and being the katzir allowed to have the shell cells that the Ramah came out, but the Ramah baskins, like Tosa's, that's why a woman, an Ashkenazi woman who's volunteering any mitzvah, like Lulav, if you hear so far, or show for anything like that, the opinion would be that we would say that according to the Yerushalayim Ashkenaz, they would make a bracha. The Rambam, however, rules that they do not make a bracha, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, those Sephardi women, do not make a bracha when they're volunteering mitzvahs. I think the Sephardi women think, a lot of, some of them think that they shouldn't do it at all. It's still Indian, they could still do it very nicely, shake the lulav and whatever. They don't make a bracha. It would be nice for them to in fact do the mitzvah. Okay, so that is the din of a woman doing mitzvahs as they should as one. The Braisa says not the sign, we learned a Braisa. So again, going back over here, the Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Shimon whether or not women are allowed to do a mitzvah. Dav Rabbi Yisrael, this is talking about when a person is doing the concept of smicha, of not the smicha of getting a rabbinic ordination, but the smicha of leaning on a korbanos, putting your hands on it and doing vidah in the korban. That is a mitzvah that is for a plinyan to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael something. Bnei Yisrael something. The Bnei Yisrael only men lean on their sacrifices, as opposed to Bnei Yisrael, the women do not. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that has been a Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Nashim, some plus or shus, the women have the option if they want to. So again, everyone agrees that they're pater. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that they're allowed to, and it's not an issur of Baal Tosef if they decide they wanted to do it. Now the Gemara says, Avam is asking by him, Ad Shem, we can engage the children until they learn to blow the shofar. Amar Belazar, Afilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, fascinating. Even when we're talking about this man, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, where we're not blowing the shofar, the children allowed mitzad chinuch to blow the shofar, because eventually they would want to be blowing the shofar. It would help them to blow shofar when they are older. So therefore, they could do over here. They could teach the we can have them blow the shofar. You're not allowed to touch it, but the children are going to assume that they will be allowed to do it even on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Many Rishonim understand that this would only apply in earlier times when at least some people were blowing on Shabbos, when there was a beis din to be allowed to blow on Shabbos. So therefore, it still is a mitzvah hayom. However, nowadays, when nobody's blowing on Rosh Hashanah Chalios B'Shabbos, although apparently there are some in Eretz Yisrael, and someone told me about the Kaisel when last year when they had it, that they weren't people blowing shofar, but Be'etzem, nobody holds his mitzvah hayom, his man is dead, to blow shofar. So then it would be no different. It would be usher for the children to blow according to these Rishonim. So the Gemara says, but either way, so the big chiddush on top of the Gemara that when they were blowing al pi beis din, it would be mutter for the children to blow, even though it's usher for that same city to blow, that would be allowed to blow. Tana me'achu then Rabbi Yisrael is asking the man al shi and dilmi b'Shabbos, the children can engage them, they're allowed to blow on Shabbos. The Gemara says, ve'in makvin esinos m'lisko b'Shabbos, the Rabbi Yisrael continues, we do not prevent them from blowing shofar on Shabbos. Ve'in tzarech lomar b'yomtev avisi on yomtev, meaning that there's a concept that Rosh Hashanah falls on a weekday, that when you're done with the shofar, you're supposed to put it away. Not supposed to be blowing it all the time. The children can blow it, they can have fun blowing the shofar. So the Gemara says, wait a second though, the price itself seems to be a stira minei bei. Within itself, the price is problematic. Because how go for kasha? This is itself contradictory. Amra, you said that the first case of the price was asking by an alshim to bafilu b'Shabbos. We engage them until they learn even on Shabbos. Almalach achila minan tiko. We say that they should initially blow the shofar. V'adav tana, yet the Tana teaches us in Akmi that we do not refrain from them, we do not restrain them from blowing, which implies we don't stop them. However, lechachila lo minan tiko, that we don't tell them lechachila initially they should be blowing. Which is it? Should they be blowing lechachila or not? So where it says lo kasha, turning on to now lam beis on beis. Bekatan she igia lechinach. We're talking about a case of a child who has reached the age of chinach, and therefore for him it's going to be mutter, and we don't even stop him at all because eventually he's going to be learning. However, Khan, Bekatan shelo igia chinach, because he has reached the age of training, he's old enough to be trained in the mitzvah, so we can tell him engage the shofar blowing in order to train him. Even Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, because eventually he's ready, there's chinuch, he should know how to blow. However, the child is lower, just playing for fun, he doesn't really know about the concept of lulav, of shofar, so then we're allowed to, we don't prevent him from doing so, we don't like encourage him to keep blowing. Now the Mishnah says also, misasek lo yatsu, someone who's blowing, misasek, again, the way that you don't really pay attention at all, you're just blowing and it come out sounds. So that is going to be someone who does not fulfill his obligation. Hatakeah lashir yotze, that implies who is just blowing to play music is going to be fulfilling his obligation. Lema misayel l'rava, this is implied that they're supporting Rava. Amar Rava hatakeah lashir yotze, someone who's blowing the shofar to just sing songs is going to be yotze. Dilma tokeel ashir, now misasik, so that implies again, only misasik, which you point out, misasik is something which is even a lower, less kavana. Mitzvah shichas kavana is a fundamental shayla. If someone is blowing just to play music and has an ulterior motive, but not something which is fundamentally different than the actual maisa mitzvah, that's the machlokas of mitzvah shichas kavana or not. So here, though, the Gemara is saying that misasik implies that only misasik, the this one you have no kavanah even to blow sounds at all, and sounds happen to come out, that's going to be when you're not yotzei the shofar. But it implies that you are yotzei the shofar if you have in mind to blow music. So the Gemara answers, Dilma tokei l'shir nami mis'asei karele. We could say that the Tatan is telling us that one who blows a shofar is also going to be called mis'asei, even when you're tokei l'shir. That's in the same category, they're both going to be not yotzei. So it's not a kasha. Now the Gemara continues, quoting the Mishnah, someone who hears a shofar for someone who's not having in mind is not fulfilling obligation. That implies that someone who is blowing from somebody who had in mind only to be motzi himself. Meaning, I'm blowing a shofar. I'm in my house, I'm blowing a shofar myself. And Reuben comes and he happens to hear it outside the window. And he has in mind to be yotze. That implies that he's yotze. The Mishnah is implying that yotze is fulfilling obligation. But we saw before that that's not the case. Rabbi Zera used to tell his gabbai, his shamish, that he's got tokeli when he was blowing the shofar, have in mind to be motzi me, and that could be yotze. This implied, though, you don't even need to have him in mind to be yotze. So the Gemara says, Dilmam nibi, right, that I did the Tana Risha Misasik. The Mishnah's case is not teaching us to allow Fuki to exclude Rabbi Zera's case, rather just since the Mishnah happened to be mentioning Misasik, somebody who's not even having paying attention, blowing the shofar, so it ended off also Tanahu Misasik, it was also ended off the case of Misasik, but you can't make the deal, you can't make the implication that implies that somebody who's blowing without kavanah to be motzi someone else would in fact be yotze. Okay, we'll just do the Mishnah, we'll run to the Mishnah quickly, and then Mishnah will pick up from the Gemara. Again, we're going to catch up when we get to Lamed Hey for sure, maybe even tomorrow, maybe Lamed Aleph, but Be'etzim, no, it's a little bit longer, so Be'etzim, we'll catch up hopefully by Shabbos, the daf will be caught up. So the Mishnah tells us, Seder Tekiah Shalosh Shalosh. The shofar blasts are a set of three sounds each, which is Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. That's how you have to, that's the concept, and you blow up a Malchus, you're going to have nine sets. The Gemara says, Shir Tekiah Kishalosh Truas. The length of a Tekiah is like three Truas. Shir Trua Kishalosh Yavavos. The length of a Trua is like three Yavavos. It's three crying sounds. So that's, and Rashi points out, a Trua is three of the shortest possible sounds. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to enter the Shorim Baruch Hashem. And Taka Berishona Imshach B'Shnia Kishnayim. So now let's say I blow my first Tekiah, Trua Tekiah. And that second Tekiah, I want to hold it. I blow out the sound of two Tekiahs. I want to keep that length. Can it count towards my next set? We actually quoted this Mishnah already before. Ein Be'al Halachas, that you only count one. You can't count it towards the next set. Only the end of the first set is going to be counted as a Tekiah. Misha Birech Vachak Nisam al Shofar, someone who already davened and he didn't have a shofar during Musa, so he missed the Malchiyos Echonos and shofars with a shofar. Still, the Mishnah says, Tokeh Mariyav Tekeh Sholosh Pamim, he should blow a Tekeh Tru Tekeh three times. Kishem Shoshev Tibur Chayav, just like Shoshev Tibur is Chayav to daven, Kol Yachad Yachad, so too is every individual who knows how to daven, has to daven, he must daven to himself. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shech Tibur Motzis Rami Dechavach, Rabbi Gamliel says that the Shech Tibur can make the public fulfill the obligation. This is talking about not only Rosh Hashanah, this is going to be discussed in the Gemara Be'ez Hashem later. Okay, we'll pick up Behatanya Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.